Go ahead and be seated, if you will. We're going to do things a little differently today. I didn't quite have enough time to get to the other church where I'll be preaching last week, and I don't want to get a ticket, and I don't want to run late. So I'm going to go ahead and start with a lesson, and then after the lesson, Brother Temp is going to come up and go over the announcements and birthdays and anniversaries, and that should work out for all of us. So let's take our Bibles, and today we're going to continue about the life of Paul, and we're going to look at Paul the persecuted. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll begin reading with verse 23, going through verse 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul asked in verse 23. I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, more oft. Almost being killed many, many times is what he's saying. Of the Jews, five times received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And you thought you were having a bad day, right? Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul is talking about his life, and he wasn't kidding about it. He really had suffered a lot and was suffering for the cause of Christ. Much of it was persecution. So Paul was just telling about all that he had been through, and he's going to show us about God's faithfulness during all of that, which God is always faithful. And then hopefully there's some things we can learn from what Paul went through in these situations. For centuries, we've had stories about martyrs and martyrdom, people who have suffered and died for the cause of Christ. And no doubt, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs or some of the other literature, it has certainly encouraged you to be willing to pay a higher price maybe than you were before you read some of their biographies or some of the stories about them. And we are always going through some problems, but God is there with us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, for instance, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the word temptation there is not just talking about being tempted to sin. We often think that's what it means, and it would include that. But no temptation, no trials, no problems, no adversity that we run into that does not have a way of escape through trusting the Lord. We are tempted to sin, and we are tempted with adversity. And so we know God is there to help us with that. Paul knew persecution, and he was writing the Corinthian church telling them about that. And we can learn from Paul. We learn some good lessons from him, and primarily that God is faithful. I'm glad he's faithful, aren't you? God is always faithful. And we learn that we can endure suffering and persecution and trials with God's help. So in your outline, number one, the divine purpose for Paul's persecutions. The divine purpose for Paul's persecutions. God has a purpose in our lives for the good, for the bad. We've emphasized that all along in some of these lessons, but God has a purpose in it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's reminding Jeremiah and reminding us that God is greater than our difficulties. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then later he told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, take pleasure in infirmities. That doesn't make sense to us. We don't like to think of it like that. That's what he's saying. Take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We think so opposite of the way God thinks and plans for us. Paul was content, very content, to be weak if need be, so that God could show his strength and that God would show himself to be faithful, as he would be that for his servant, the Apostle Paul. Now, what would be God's divine purpose in some of the persecution and suffering? And he told Paul, A, in your outline, he was to bear the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord. The Lord had chosen Paul. The Lord had prepared Paul to carry his name to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to the common people, and all the way to royalty. And God had chosen Paul to do that. And Ananias, when he was talking with him after that, or God was telling Ananias to go see him, he said, but the Lord said unto him, to Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. He's going to give the gospel to all of those. By the way, we're chosen vessels too. And that's what Paul was. He was a chosen vessel to carry the gospel to all of these people. And God put his hand on him and gave him a very special calling. But in general, we have the same calling. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies. We have the truth. We know the truth. We know how to be saved. And so we're carrying something valuable with us today, no matter where we go, and that's the gospel. I remember one time seeing a man, he was a member of our church, and we were in Indianapolis, and he was getting a heart transplant. They called and had him come in, and we went over, my wife and I and some other folks. And so finally they called and said, we've got the heart and it's on the way. And so I went down with another person, and we were waiting for them to get there with a heart. And the state trooper drove up in his car with a nurse, and they had a little Coleman container, and they had that heart on that container, and they took it up and did the heart transplant. They had something very special, didn't they, in that container, a heart. And I watched when they got out of the car and watched and followed them up, and I thought, that's amazing that they've got a heart in there, something important in that little simple container. But they took it and did the heart transplant for Mr. Clausen. And so we have this treasure also in earthen vessels, and we need to give it out and give it to other people, even if we're persecuted. So God ordained us to carry out the gospel. John 3:14-15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We're to lift up Christ, lift up the gospel, give out the gospel. So he was to bear the name of the Lord, and then he was to suffer for the name of the Lord. Bear the name and suffer for the name of the Lord. God told Ananias when he talked to him, he said, Paul is going to suffer for me. back in Acts 19:16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, "The test of your character is what does it take to stop you? The test of your character is what does it take to stop you?" Paul obviously had character, didn't he? Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." God help us to get to that place. "So that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of God." What we have to do is decide, and we need to decide right now for sure, that we'll be willing to endure trials if we're willing to witness for Christ and take a stand for him. People are not going to like you if you take a stand for God. They didn't like Paul. They tried to kill him. It won't be, we will not let all that distract us. We won't be daunted or detained from doing the work of God that we need to do, because God has called us to do that, not just the Apostle Paul. So Jesus did the very same thing. He pressed forward in the time of the cross, Luke 9:51. "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up," notice what it says, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." He gave us the example. Paul followed the example. We need to follow both of them. In 1555, there was a campaign to establish the Catholic Church in England. And Mary, Queen of England, also known as Bloody Mary, arranged for someone by the name of John Philpot, who was one of the leading Protestant ministers of that day, to be burned at the stake. Literally, to be burned at the stake. When his death sentence was pronounced, Philpot said, "I am ready. God grant me strength and a joyful resurrection." Sort of hard for us to enter into that, but that happened. That's a true story. Philpot walks to the place where he's going to be executed, and rather than having to be dragged there, he freely went, and when he reached it, he knelt and kissed the stake at which he would be burned. He thought it was an honor to die for the cause of Christ, and that was the way it was, of course, during that time of great persecution. By the way, there may come a day where we face some of that. We don't know. We don't know where this election is going. We don't know what our future is. We may run into some of that. I don't know that we will, but we're seeing more and more and more of it, and we're seeing more of the Christians' rights and all of that fooled with, and they're trying to get rid of those things. But we need to be willing to stand. Do we stand firm, or do we lower the standards? We must stand firm. That's what God wants out of us. So the divine purpose for Paul's persecution. Then secondly, the daunting perils of Paul's persecutions. A, in the outline, Paul's enemies, and he had them, had various motives. Why did he have so many enemies? Why were they so against this one man? One man who was just representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have enemies the same way. We want to go about doing good. We want to be light. We want to be salt. But when you take a stand for the Bible and take a stand on the fact that Christ is the only way to heaven, and you will not budge, and you take those conservative views, then people aren't going to like you. All we're trying to do is represent God. Where do we get our views? We get them right here in the Bible. And we're just standing for what the Word of God says. And if you do that, people won't like you. The homosexual crowd, the lesbians, the transgender crowd, all of those people, the crowd that wants to kill babies, they don't like us because we say the Bible says that's wrong. And it's just clear in the Word of God. So all we're doing is trying to represent God. A lot of unsaved people, many unsaved people hate us, and they hate just because they hate God. Here's what God said about it in John 15, verse 19. "If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. You drop in anywhere with a worldly crowd and they'll take you in and you can just fit right in with them. But because ye are not of the world, I want to put there, we should not be of the world. Because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Let that sink in. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, did they persecute him? They certainly did. They crucified him. They will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the Lord. We know him. We represent him. We speak up. We do it kindly. We do it with love. But we don't kowtow and run from them. And they don't like us because we take a stand. Now, if they get saved, they change their attitude. But what were the motives of these enemies? Why would they do that? Number one, pride. Pride was a motive. Acts 9, 22 and 23. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Saul increased in strength and more people got saved. And the crowd was growing and growing and growing. And they didn't like that. So Paul's results caused increase and that threatened them. They felt threatened. And they literally wanted to kill him. Here's a quote that I found that I like. Sitting still rarely brings resistance. It is only when we are attempting to further the cause of Christ that Satan attempts to stop or slow the advance of God's servants. That's true, isn't it? Let me read that again. Sitting still rarely brings resistance. It is only when we are attempting to further the cause of Christ that Satan attempts to stop or slow the advance of God's servants. And that's exactly what he does. Luke 9:13, and he called his servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And so that's a lesson for us. We're to occupy until he comes. Now that doesn't mean just sit in the pew and occupy that place. And it doesn't mean just sit down somewhere and occupy. Or somebody say, here, you sit here until I get back. You occupy this space. That's not what the word occupy there means. It's not just taking up space. But what he's saying here is busy yourself. Occupy. Be busy. Be busy. Be busy. Be busy. Busy serving the Lord. Don't just take up space. Pursue things and do something for the glory of God. Proverbs 6:16-17. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and one of them is a proud look. The enemies were proud, and they didn't like being shown up. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's the attitude they had. They were proud. They were being shown up, and they didn't like it. And so they took after Paul. And that, by the way, is what got Lucifer, the archangel, in trouble, wasn't it? We won't take time to read all of that, but in Isaiah 14, it's recorded there where he thought he could rise up equal and above God. And God said, no, that'll never happen. And he kicked him and a third of the angels out of heaven. But what was the motivation of Lucifer? It was pride. No wonder God hates pride. And so that was one of the problems. And then secondly was envy, their first cousins. Acts 13:44-45. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Almost the whole city. But when the Jews saw the multitude, a lot of people, they were filled with what? Envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting him and blaspheming God. The enemy did everything they could to disrupt the presentation of the gospel and the success of the gospel. And you and I can serve the Lord, and we can be criticized, but if we're true Christians, we're going to serve the Lord even if we are mistreated. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed or happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah for that. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. By the way, it should be false. Falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He said, expect persecution, don't worry about it, and then just remember others have been persecuted. And Paul modeled that response. 1 Corinthians 4:12, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer not. We take it. And then the other was materialism. I think that was one of the things. And at Philippi in Ephesus, they were approaching a girl that was a fortune teller. And those men were making a lot of money from that fortune teller. And so whenever they were getting people saved and they quit going to her and they went to the Lord instead, then they got jealous because they were losing money. They were also on other occasions selling idols, and they would sell those idols. And so when people would get saved, they quit buying the idols. The Roman Catholic Church sells a lot of idols, a lot of things like that, make a lot of money. I could give you some stories, but I don't have time. But the enemies went into a violent frenzy, and they were crying out. They were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They were making statues of her and selling them. Sellers today of alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, all of those things, they hate it when people get saved and they quit using their products. So Paul's enemies had various motives. And then Paul's enemies had various methods. What did they use? Well, they used threats. They used threats. Paul got saved. His old friends turned against him, and they wanted to kill him. And they, on one occasion, they were going to kill him. They had all the gates covered, and Paul couldn't get out the front gate. So his friends, other friends, let him down in a basket, and he escaped. They meant business. They really were going to kill him. Now, how do we have strength to stand? Well, the psalmist said, and I think it tells us that it's Scripture, Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. You feel like God's on your side today? If you're trying to live for him, serve him, he's on your side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And then he said in Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then there was agitation. They would stir up people. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. They stirred them up. And so when they had problems, Paul and them maybe were beaten or whatever, but they just went to the next city. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. They just went on to the next city, but they shook off the dust of their feet against him and came unto Iconium. They just kept going, just kept serving God. People think that we don't have a right to speak up with the Bible and that we don't have a right to offend them. That crowd really hates us. And yet in our hearts, thank God, we can have peace. Violence was another thing that the enemies used. 2 Corinthians 11:24-25, Paul's talking about being beaten. And 40 stripes minus one, 39 stripes, and was beaten. And then, number three, we see the delivering power for Paul's persecutions. The delivering power. Paul eventually was martyred. You say, well, I thought you said Christ would take care of him. He did, as long as he had a ministry and a purpose for him. He took care of him and got him out of those messes. But the day came when God said, Paul, it's time for you to come home. Well, that wasn't a bad deal either, was it? I've been in the Mamertine prison, and some of you have, and seen it, and off came his head, literally, but his soul and spirit went straight to heaven. So God took care of him even during that time. Then with the Lord's help, he endured. A in your outline. With the Lord's help, he endured. And Paul charged Timothy. And by the way, the Christian life is no picnic. We're going to have trials and persecution if we're living right. And then B in your outline, with the Lord's faithfulness, he was delivered. He was delivered. And thank God that he was. So what do we take home from this? Are you going through a trial right now? Some of you are. I know some of you are. And many of us probably are being mistreated or looked down upon by family or co-workers or whatever. Some to the very point maybe of persecution. But we have to understand that, like Paul, God can give us strength if we just stand for the Lord. No matter what we face, God can give us strength. And we need to determine to endure by God's grace and press forward, speak up, witness for God, live right, do what's right, be separated, even if the kin folks and everybody else doesn't understand, and be a witness. Press forward and witness for God. And here's the thing, his grace is sufficient and always will be. He's able to deliver us. Ultimately, we're going to go to heaven, and that'll be worth it all. Amen.